it is that we have been talking about that very thing. The promise of a God who destines his people for a promised land. How that he shuts down principalities and powers and authorities and enemies that fight against us as an individual, a family, and a church. And that God has ordered the steps of Israel, and God has ordered the steps of the New Testament Israel, the New Testament church, for what is indeed what Amiah wrote about, in that God has a promise and a promised land for us, that he will expel every enemy, that he will put down every devil, authority, and principality of hell, that God is exalted, and in our praise and in our worship, he works and he moves and he distributes the very thing that we need to overcome every enemy in our life. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and give him praise in this house. Praise the name of the Lord. Clap your hands under the heavens and exalt him. Bless his holy name. I am thrilled to encourage you and tell you that God works in every aspect of our lives, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially. We are encouraging you to help us. We cannot do it. We don't have all the funds that we need in the bank. We have some set aside that we are meeting needs for, but we believe that God has given us a promise to bless the facilities, to take care of parking and take care of situations where we need repairs and we need help. And I just want to share with you, God has blessed us just this week. I won't tell you the name, of course, but we had someone this week that just gave a $10,000 donation toward the work that we need to do for the church. God works in me. I'm glad that he works in the financial, but Wayne, I'm glad that he moves in the spiritual. I was talking with Brenda Dodd this week, and Jim, their precious grandson, is Deacon. He's sitting right there. I don't want to embarrass him or anything, but that's Deacon sitting right there. And they said to him a week or two ago, they said, you know, you can go to children's church. How old are you? 11? Are you 11? 11 years old. You can go to children's church if you want to. And of course, we appreciate everything they do down there. He said, no, no, no. He said, I want to be in big church. I want to be where the word's being preached. I said, thank God. It may be going right over our heads, but even in the lives and the minds and the spirits of young children, they understand and they recognize the anointing and the power of God in our services, on our choir, on our musicians, and through the power and the word of a living God. I'm grateful today. Don't you love him with all of your heart? Seven enemies that God said, I'll deal with in order to give Israel the promised land. They are spirits that are raised up throughout the word of God. Some were totally defeated. Some were let go to live. And they have raised their heads again and again throughout the body of Christ. But God has given us victory over those very spirits. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. The word said, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy it, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These seven nations are greater than you and more numerous than you. And when the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. They made that mistake. He said, make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. And then God goes on to talk about what you can't do. Joshua 3:10, Joshua leads the people of Israel. They are at the Jordan River and they are about to move into that territory, that land of the seven enemies. And God said, you'll know that I go before you to destroy these seven enemies when you see the Ark of the Covenant and the power of my promise upon the Jordan River, and the waters are rolled back like they were at the Red Sea, and you will walk through on dry ground. And that's exactly what happened. I'm thankful today that God still does, Miss Sarah, what his word says he will do. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, add anointing to every aspect of this message, every aspect of hearts and lives under the sound of your voice and your call, your anointing and your power. I pray, God, that you will reach from the front to the back and up into the uttermost parts of the balcony today, and that, God, among all and in all and through all, you would be glorified through Jesus your Son as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we worship no other but you alone. You are worthy to be praised, and you are a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are indeed saved. Amen. Bless the Lord one more time. Clap your hands under the heavens. Make your voice an instrument and praise this great God that we serve today. As you are seated, so it is, of course, easy to understand that Israel has enemies. We all have enemies. But Israel also has a promise. They have an inheritance. God has a promise, and he will not fail, and he fully knows how to deal with your enemies. It was Rahab, the Jericho harlot, that lifted up her voice and said, "The terror of your God fell on us." It is a great thing when not only do we testify, but the enemy testifies even for us. What Israel did not want to remember, Rahab could not forget, because the favor of God that was upon Israel became the same God and the same favor upon Rahab. And God tells us that you'll deal with the Hittite spirit, phobias, people who are afraid unexplainably, Hivites, people that live a lie. They are actors and pretenders, parasites. They think everything is small and insignificant. They have a limited vision for the future, though their vision is strong in regard to the past. Girgashites, they are earthly and they disdain anything that is spiritual. Don't talk about principalities and powers, because I don't want to deal with that. I'm just practical and I'm earthly. And then the Jebusites, people who put you down and demand that you concede and stunt your growth. And it's all about intimidation. If Israel had measured their potential for victory by the size of their enemy, they would have surely failed. They would have never gone forward. They would have never moved past their past, because God even told them, he spoke to them and said, "Your enemy is bigger than you. Your enemy is larger than you. Your enemy is mightier than you, but they are not bigger than the God that you serve. Our God is faithful, and he's still bigger than every problem you brought through the doors of this house today." Let me tell you how God deals with your enemies. An enemy, an eagle, an enemy of the eagle, the snake, the eagle will never fight that snake on the ground. I love this. But because the eagle has the power in his clutches and in his claws, he will swoop down and he will catch the snake unaware, and he will lift that snake into the air, and he will change his battleground. Then the eagle will release the snake into the sky. And it is there that the snake has no stamina and no power and no balance whatsoever. On the ground, the snake is wise and cunning and deadly and stealth and well hidden. But in the air, he is weak and completely vulnerable. All the eagle has to do once he has the snake in his grip is to just suddenly let it go. And might I encourage someone today, you're trying to find answers in pastors and preachers and musicians and worship leaders and in styles, but today God has said, "I'm a big God, and I'm able to grab what it is that fights against you, and all you have to do is simply let it go. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness." Where? In high
places if you'll take your problem back to God the Father and wrestle in the high place of the Most High. My God, he'll give you victory and liberty over it. What does God do for you? What does the eagle do for the eaglet? The mother eagle, in order to teach an eaglet how to fly, will carry it into the crevice of a high mountain and let the eaglet go. The difference between the snake and the eaglet is that the snake is the enemy, the eaglet is the child, and as the eaglet begins to fall and turn end over end, most of the time, that eaglet will suddenly spread its wings and begin to soar and fly on its own. We have a lot of people that need to learn how to fly on their own. And so it is. There are on occasions when that eaglet will lose its power and not understand that it should be an eagle of determination, and it will fall, and it will fall, and it fall, and it will fall. And just before the eaglet is about to crash into the earth, the father, I love this, the father eagle has been watching all along. And what a lot of people don't know or understand is simply this, is that the father eagle can fly 208 miles per hour. And just before that eagle will crash and burn, the father in his loving care will sweep in at 208 miles per hour, and he will lift the eagle back to safety until he is able to fly on his own. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that God is watching Israel, and God is watching you, and the Father can always fly faster than you have the ability to fall. And if you will simply let him catch you today, he will work in your life, and he will take care of you against every enemy. They have a promise to secure. And it is here that we find the Amorites are the sixth enemy of Israel. The Amorites have to do with high places, lofty places, mountain places, in the mind, in the heart, in the spirit. The spirit of the Amorite always wants to hear their own name. As a matter of fact, Amorite means uprising, a people of self-exaltation, fame seekers. The Hebrew word is Amar. It means to utter their name. Amorite, Amar. Make sure you know who I am. People who are consumed with humanistic glory. Throughout history, you will find them. None other than Saddam Hussein, Fidel Castro, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. Amorite means a mountain people, an uprising, men and women who are renowned in their own eyes. I'll do my best to tie this together for you before it's over today. The Amorite spirit will dominate and control. Pastor, you're talking about the world. You're talking about politics. No. I'm talking about what's been inside the church for years and fights against us to belittle us and to control us. It is a spirit that drives men to see pictures of themselves all over cities, posted in earthly kingdoms, posted, well, even on Facebook, if you dare, if you want to confess or believe it. Amorite spirits establish an imposing and seemingly immovable presence. A mountain people, a strong people. Some people do nothing but, Noah, they do nothing but create mountains that we have to climb or tunnel through. But I confess to you today that I believe the Church of the Living God has been called to tear down mountains, to not put up with mountains, to not tolerate the mountains of the enemy, the uprising of the enemy, the power of the enemy. Why? Because we've quoted it multiple times lately. Greater is he that is in me than he that is indeed in the world. Matthew 17. I'll try to hurry. I don't have to, but I'll try. Matthew 17. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John into what? Into a mountain. That's what the word says. And it is there that Peter gets into name dropping. Name dropping. Hey, let's build a tabernacle to Moses. Let's build a tabernacle to Elijah. Oh, and Jesus, great idea. Let's build a tabernacle to you. We'll put your name on it. Let's just build them right here. And it is that the word says that while Peter is still speaking, Peter's just rambling on. And we could do this, we could do that. And that God reveals his glory on his son. Brother Tommy, it is a God moment. It is a supernatural moment. The glory of the heavens open up and God acknowledges his son. And Peter's just rambling on. We can build this, we can build that. Let's build a tabernacle. Sometimes we are doing our best to deliver Jesus to the masses. Far too many times we're just comfortable, Anita, with delivering Jesus on Sunday morning. But God is, I didn't even think about what you do on Thursdays. But God has called us to deliver Jesus to the masses. And all the while, we have to keep, Tanya, dealing with people who are just rambling on and on about this and rambling on and on about that. And God's trying to deliver Jesus. They're not fully tuned in to what's happening in the kingdom. And then we wonder why people like Peter lose focus and they start denying Jesus at the cross of Calvary. In all of the glory of God, Peter cannot focus on what is most important. I'm sorry, I don't, that stuff bugs me when I hear other people go, but I felt a at that moment. Jesus, this is what's important. You can get all of that, but you've got to get this. Jesus then meets the rest of his disciples where? The Bible is clear. He meets the rest of his disciples in the valley. And what is happening? A man's son is possessed in the valley. That's a real need. I don't know about you, but if my son's possessed, if my daughter's possessed, that's a real need in my life. And I tell you what bugs me, and maybe you just say, well, Pastor, you're just kind of off your rocker a little. You're just over spiritual. I want to tell you what bothers me is that we don't talk and we don't pray the spiritual like we need to. I believe we've got to have a return of the holy anointed power of the Holy Spirit active in our lives every day, every hour, and in our church right here at Summerton. Woo! The disciples have no power to cast him out in the valley. Pastor, hear me. I want a mountain experience. Pastor, you know I want big things. Pastor, you know I'm open to the glory. I want a mountain experience. But the real question, with all respect, the real question for Summerton is, with all of our great history, and we are about Glenda Dodd to celebrate a 100-year incredible event. The question is not who we are on the mountain. The question is, what are we worth in somebody else's valley? And the thing I noticed, Dad, is this, is that Jesus, he's in the valley now. There's no Moses. Peter, what's this about building a tabernacle? There's no Moses. There's no Elijah. There's no Joshua. There's no promised land. There's no that. He's in the valley. And he's without Moses and he's without Eli. Why? Because Miss Sarah, he doesn't even need them with what he's about to do. But he rebukes the devil in that boy. And the word said that he is cured that very hour. It did not take a tabernacle on a mountain. It took the Holy Ghost on Jesus in the valley. I'm telling you this morning, it doesn't take my name on a state council. It doesn't take my name on a who's list. It doesn't take my name on a plaque in the church hallway, but I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need the authority of Jesus Christ that as your pastor, when I walk into your valley, I've got some authority and power to cast out the power of the enemy. Hey, 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 hey. Somebody shout, somebody lift your voice. Praise him in this house. Hey! You need the power of the Holy Ghost on me in your valley. When there's no Moses around, there's no Elijah around, there's no Steve Brock around. There's no Lane Sargent around. There's no legend here and no legend there. You better hope and be praying for your pastor that the power of God rests on me. And when I walk into your valley, I walk with the authority of the name that is above every name. And every evil spirit has to flee. And God grants healing and victory. And I lift your hands and praise him in this house. And the disciples want to know, why could we not cast him out? God, why? I've heard that. Pastor, why don't I have any power in my life? Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. For I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove yourself to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Cody Biddle, nothing. You have God's authority, you have God's power. When Jesus talks about us moving mountains, it's more than just a quick fix to a big problem. Because sometimes problems, Miss Glenda, are not practical. They are supernatural in their root. And you have to have discernment, and you have to have planning, and you have to have education about situations and problems and how to deal with life. You have to be practical. But sometimes the root of that son of a gun is anchored deep and low, and you've got to have authority in the spiritual because you've been living the life and you're ready for those encounters with the enemy that keeps you from your promise. Moon family, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll continue to work in Macy Cho. I pray that you will continue to move that curve, change that spine, work in the authority of your son, Christ Jesus. Lift your hands if you believe it today. Come on, confess it for the moon. I confess for Macy Cho today. God said, I've called you to uproot spiritual powers in high places, mountain places. We've been called to take back the earth, soldiers in a battle. Name dropping won't bring your mountain down. A little Moses here, a little Moses there. A little tabernacle here, a little tabernacle there. An idol here, an idol there. A trophy here, a trophy there. A plaque here, a plaque there. An Amorite here, an Amorite there. Our focus is not to get things, not to get our way. But our focus is to tear down principalities and powers that get in the way of God's kingdom and authority on this earth. Amen. My focus, Drake, as your pastor, is to tear down mountains. mountains that you know you wrestle with, Tommy, and wrestles you may not know you wrestle with. Charmin. To tear mountains down, to get addictions out of your way, to get Amorites out of your way, to make the immovable movable in Christ Jesus. Some have been name dropping for a long time. I have found out, Bart, that they ramble on Sunday just like they ramble on Monday. Little Jesus here, little Jesus there. Hey, I don't know about you, but I am so tired of people name dropping. Look at me with my great friends, my great group here by my private jet. Look at me and my great friends. I'm in Africa, I'm in India. God knows you're in Africa. Give him glory. Yeah, I get tired of hearing names. Sometimes I don't want to hear the name of the person that's doing the name dropping. Hey, take that. The spirit of the Amorite just comes over them whenever they walk into the room. You're like, oh my God, here they come again. I was having a great week till I heard that name. Why did you bring that? Amorites want to make rules. They are, listen to me, they are in the Hebrew sayers. Sayers that won't obeyers. They want to give the orders. I don't know about you. I love old Peter, and he messed up, and God did an incredible work in his life. But I don't need name droppers in my valley. I need men and women with authority and power that know how to help me push through every valley in my life, that have authority and power to join hands and hearts together and say that we are triumphant in the name and in the blood and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are not here today on our name, but on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he will be lifted up. Hey. Stay with me quickly. So the Amorite wants to hear their name. The spirit of the Amorite is always throwing up intentional roadblocks. Philip, you ever have people you deal with and you think, man, I think they did that on purpose. You just wonder, that seems way too calculated, way too. They planned that. That's an intentional roadblock to mess up my choir, to mess up our senior adults, to mess up the pastor. Numbers 21:21, Israel is in pursuit of Canaan. Sihon, listen, is the king of the Amorites. All Israel wants to do, you still with me? What time? Well, I got plenty of time. All Israel wants to do is pass through. Listen to what Israel says. We won't turn to the left. We won't turn to the right. We're not going to bother anybody. We just have a destiny and a promise. And all we want to do, it's pass through. You don't even have to say anything to me. Just let me pass through. But Sihon refuses. King Sihon refuses access, and he deliberately fights against them to block their path. Pastor has a path. He feels like he's heard from God for the path. We love our pastor. We trust our pastor. We believe that God has spoken to him about a path, but yet we're going to do everything we can to block the path. And so the word says that Sihon, someone in this house today, you have a Sihon that you're dealing with. You have a king spirit of the Amorites in your pathway. And God said, you lift up your hand right now, I'll remove every blockage. I'll remove everything that is in your way. I'll remove it. I'll give you free path. Hey, give us a word, God. Give us a word. And the word said that sometimes you can push God's people just a little too far. And the word said that Israel put them to the edge of the sword and they took possession of their land. Israel, all they wanted was their promise. They're not trying to hurt anybody. But Israel said, we will take you down if we have to. And that's exactly what they did. I will take down the roadblocks in my life, in my family, in my church. Nothing is going to prohibit me from having what God has called me to have in my life. Go to Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Adonizedek, he is the king of Jerusalem. He joins forces with four other Amorite kings. This may not be blessing you, but I'm blessing myself this morning. I love this. I love the way the word of God ties together. And it is to provoke Joshua. He enters into this allegiance with the spirit of the Amorite, four Amorite kings. It is a setup, it's a trap. Listen, if all you have in mind is to walk into this altar, to walk into my office, to walk into this choir, to walk into any of the ministry and provoke and agitate and put up roadblocks, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for the Father to fly in at 208 miles an hour and do the impossible, do the incredible. This... felt like God spoke to me in prayer yesterday. I said, God, that sounds silly. He said, do it. If the Spirit presents itself, it's the time to do it. This is your roadblock. I'm speaking to somebody in this section right here. This is your roadblock. It is the spirit of hurt feelings. Your feelings are hurt all the time. As a matter of fact, you talk more about your hurt feelings than you do the healer in the house that can absolve and take you out of that constant, perpetual spirit of hurt feelings. I felt like God moved me in prayer yesterday. He brought me to this spot right here, and he said, you speak it into this section as well. The spirit of hurt feelings, the spirit of hurt feelings, the spirit of hurt feelings. I've been here about 15 months. Kelly and I, my family, we love you with all of our hearts. We feel like it's been a God moment. It's been a God thing. It's been a God fit. But we are naive in all of our glory and all of our past if we think that spirits don't war against who we are in the kingdom of God. And God said every now and then he has to bring us up close with what it is we're fighting. I gotta break it. And I gotta take the roadblocks down. And it will be after a while. If you don't get over your spirit of hurt feelings, God will move you. The word of God speaks to Joshua in verse 8, and he says, the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Not a man of them. Do not fear them. I have given them into your hand. Is Bart here today? Bart Maddox here today? Bart anywhere? No. Will you lift up your hands? I want to pray for Bart today. God, today in the name of Jesus Christ, you know what it is that ails Bart. You know that what it is that Bart's fighting against. You know what it is, God, physically, mentally, emotionally, that he needs your touch and your power and your deliverance from and in. I pray, God, today that you will heal him, do what doctors cannot do, and eliminate the roadblocks in his life. The word says that Joshua marched all night long. You still with me this morning? I believe that you are. I hope that you are. He marches all night long. The sun stands still. You talk about power over roadblocks. The sun stands still. Hailstones fall from heaven. And there is no day like it or before or since. All five kings flee into the cave of Medea. And it is there at Machida. And it is there that Joshua rolls a stone over the cave. And I like what he said. He said, don't stop there. Pursue after your enemies and take them out. Verse 21, not a man moved his tongue against the people of Israel. Just will you lift your hand today? Just tell the enemy that fights against you, I dare you to keep wagging your tongue. Keep wagging your tongue. I'm about to call on Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'll close with this morning. I'll show you how and I'll show you why. The spirit of the Amorite always opposes the kingship of Jesus. The Amorite spirit, should it raise its head in the church today, always opposes the kingship of Christ. God is preparing Israel for destiny. They are to settle for nothing less than their destiny. Would you say that today? I will settle for nothing less than my destiny. Israel cannot take possession of its future glory if those seven spirits are not annihilated and removed out of the way. There are things in your life that you have to get out of the way. Amorites are false kings trying to live and rule in a godly kingdom. They see God and his people as a competition. Their agenda is to block the influence of God. Listen, how do you know, Pastor? Because if you go to the Word of God, Brother Tommy, Canaanite kings and their opposition to Israel and God's people, you'll find it three times. You go to the Word of God and you look at the Hittite kings, and you'll find that three times they are in opposition to God and his plan and his people. But when you search the scriptures from cover to cover, you will find the spirit of the Amorite and 23 Amorite kings that fight against the purpose and the plan of God. Don't tell me it's not real. But I have good news this morning. Jesus is what? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, and God has set him to prevail. And when he returns in all of his glory, he will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords in Jerusalem, Israel, again and again and again. Would you shout, he is the only King of glory? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Pastor, why are these things important to you? Because if they wrestle against us like the Word of God says they do, that as a shepherd, pastor, leader, it's my responsibility to lead in the fight against these things, as well as the glory and the victory and the power and the joy of who God is. I don't want, if there's one person in this house that needs a Macy Joe touch today, Eddie Cummings, you need a touch like that. You need God to move in your life in that upper balcony today. I don't know. I'm just telling you that I've got to do everything in my power to make sure that I am praying, that I am hearing God, that I have authority, that we have authority to tear down every roadblock and force of opposition that would keep you from getting the miracle that you need in this life. If you lay your hands on me, if you lift your hands up to pray for me, if you extend your hand in fellowship to me, you'd better not be another mountain that I have to waste my time on. Man, you don't really need people like that praying for you. You need to be praying for them. Laying holy hands on them. We just ramble on like Peter. Throw a few words out over people. But when you touch me and pray for me and cry for me, I am expecting a kingdom connection that will move the mountain out of my way. Last thing. When Jesus is in the garden and he is praying his most earnest prayer, his perspiration becomes his drops of blood, prays a 63-word prayer. He is fighting against all the opposition of hell, what he will endure on the cross of Calvary. As he gets ready to go there, the word says that when the enemy comes, 600 men fall backward at the power of his word. But there is a servant there by the name of Malchus. And Malchus is the servant of an Amorite master. His loyalty belongs to Annas and Caiaphas, religious leaders. The high priest that will ultimately mock and send Jesus to the cross. And the right ear of Malchus identifies him as a bondservant. And it is there that Peter, when he cuts off his ear, it separates him from his identity. What? It separates him from his identity. And when Jesus reaches, listen, the name Malchus, take a guess at what the name Malchus means. It means king. He's been listening to the voices of Amorite masters. But when Peter, in his anger and his foolhardiness, he's doing the work of the Lord and doesn't even know it. I believe that when Jesus reaches over and heals him, that he is restoring identity to Malchus. He is revealing himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you will never serve another king in your life. Hey, do you really believe that Malchus ever forgot the one who healed him and the one who reached down and picked up that ear and put it seamlessly. Listen, we pass over this. There was blood and flesh. It was a gory scene. I don't know about you, but I would have been standing there thinking, my God, I just lost my ear. And Jesus reaches over and he restores the ear to his head, makes him completely whole. I don't think there was a day that ever went by, a moment ever went by after that, that Malchus did not realize who the real king is. And the real, stand with me all over this auditorium this morning. Will you turn to your neighbor and just tell them that's who you really are this morning? You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. I started with birds. Can I end with another? Peter, who cuts Malchus's ear off, Jesus heals it, puts it back. When Jesus heals the ear of Malchus and explains to him the real meaning of kingship, I believe that Jesus is setting Peter up with a message about what is about to happen to him. When Peter denies Jesus three times, listen, each time, it is a servant mentality that he denies Jesus too. So he has let Amorite sayers speak into his life. And because they are speaking into his life, he is now denying Jesus to them. When that rooster crowed, Peter has denied him three times. I've told you before that the rooster can modulate three keys. Each time it's more intense, it's with more conviction. Peter hears the rooster crowing. But also, when roosters get their feathers ruffled, when they start to crow, they spread the feathers in their necks to form something that resembles a crown around their necks. And it communicates that I am king of this territory. This is my dominion. I am Lord and Master. I believe that Jesus was sending Peter a two and three and fourfold message through Malchus and through this rooster. You've forgotten who your king is. You've been listening to Amorite slaves and you've forgotten who's in charge of your life. And it's time to reconnect to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
We've had incredible worship, music, vocalists, musicians. Testimonies to assure God that works miracles in our lives. Macy Joe is a miracle. Today, if you're in this house, and you would say, Pastor, I'm not asking you to confess any incredible sin. I'm just doing what I feel like God's put on my heart. You would say, Pastor, I just need to reconnect to the King. I need to reconnect to the King. I've listened to a lot of voices in my life. I've listened to a lot of voices in the last month, 2 months, 3 months, and they may not be saying the right thing, and I just need to reconnect to the King. This altar is open. I'm not going to press you. 100 may come, no one may come, but I believe that this has been the word of God this morning. I believe it's timely. I'll go out of here today, and I won't need one person to tell me, Pastor, you preached the word today. I know God is here. I know that God is here. I just need to reconnect to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know, says the Lord, that you would not deny me. I know today that you love me and you care. I know today your history, your foundation, your home. I know your name, but it is today that I declare that it is time. It is a divine appointment. This is the moment and the hour for you to reconnect to me. I am the source of your power. I will heal you, make you whole, and I will save your family, says the Lord of hosts. Why would you wait, says the Lord? Why would you hesitate? Why would you put off for tomorrow what it is that you can do today? Reconnect to me. I am calling. This is my voice. This is my will. This is my burden for you, your heart, your soul, your home, and your family. Reconnect to me, says the Lord, and I will work a work in your life.